Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Before we get into the text, we need to review where we have been so we understand where we are. Part one of the marks of a healthy church. We define the church as His body. The church belongs to Him. It is His. He declared, "I will build my church." Then we discuss the kind of people that make up His church from Ephesians 1. And we discovered 9 things there about the people who make up the church. They are predestinated people. They are chosen people. They are people who are loved, accepted, adopted, forgiven, so on. Regenerate people. The church is made up of saved people, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many people who attend a church or church services or hang around Bible studies who aren't really saved. What we're talking about is the true church, regenerate people, people who are hungry for biblical truth, people empowered by the Holy Spirit, people who live by faith. In part two, we discussed the purpose of the church to make Christ visible on earth, the mission of the church to make disciples, and the fact that the church is a family, and that real church growth is not numbers, but real church growth is measured by disciples, committed people. Then we spent a week really discussing the family and what a healthy family looks like, and how that carries over into the church. Last week from Ephesians 4, we discussed the function of the church. How does God plan for people to be together in a local church and carry out the ministry? Now today we come to part 5, and the discussion will be the Lord's message to the healthy church. And that's why we're looking at Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 through 20. Would you follow as I read that? This is after the resurrection and the final times of Christ on earth. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's the Lord's message to the church. Now, let's look at that briefly for a moment. What we learn here is that Christ is our master. Who are we this morning? The people of Arroyo Bible Church. Who are people in His church? We are people with a master. We are not our own masters. No human being is our master. No parliament, no Congress, no military power, no government. No government educational system is our master. Christ is our master. That's a healthy church. He said this, all authority, and authority carries power, all power given unto me. He is the one. A healthy church has Christ as master. And of course, a healthy church is made up of individuals. So if this message doesn't get home to us personally, it doesn't mean a thing. This morning, you may have thought of this before, but would you freshly and anew, right here at this moment, in your heart, say, Lord Jesus Christ, you are my master. I now live under your authority. Who are we? People with a master. Then we learn that the gospel is our message. Who are we? We're people with a message. And Ray alluded to that this morning, the good news. Why is it good news? Because we're predestined, we're elected, we're forgiven, we're accepted, we're adopted, we're regenerate. That's the gospel that brings the forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life. Now that's worthy to talk about. That's worthy to take into all the world and preach this gospel. Who are we? We're people with a message. If you're a student in school, you are there with a message that the students in that school desperately need. If you are in business, you are around people who are in desperate need of this message. If you live in a family, your family desperately needs the greatest message on earth. Absolutely vital. So we are people with a master, we are people with a message, and we are people with a mission. Go, therefore, make disciples is our mission. Christianity can be easy if our purpose is to entertain sheep and not worship the Lamb. We're not here to entertain sheep. We are here to worship the Lamb of God with commitment to go into all the world with this gospel. To do what? To make disciples. A healthy church is made up of disciples, not casual people. So what is this involved? He says going. It involves going. It's an outreach to family, to neighbors, to school, to business. It is baptizing, which is a commitment to leave the old life and live the new life. Discipleship is teaching and training, Christian education. What are we and who are we? We are people with a training station. This is a training mission. And discipling is our ministry. Now, with that in mind, I want to go into further detail about the description of a disciple. We hear that word a lot. It's very biblical. It's said to be the followers of Christ. Just two things this morning about a disciple. First of all, a disciple is a learner. Carries the idea of being a student. Teachable. A disciple of Jesus Christ is a hungry person, hungry for truth. People like Ricky, who will drive 45 minutes for an hour to get to the truth. Student. The second thing about a disciple that we'll consider this morning is that of being a follower. A follower of Christ. You know, the interesting thing, you read through the Gospels, Jesus talked to many individuals and groups of people. The thing that he said most often than he said to anything else is, come and follow me. He catches Peter and John. Follow me. Immediately they follow him. James and Andrew, and so on. Peter and Andrew, James and John, follow me. They immediately leave their nets and follow him. Now, this is the call of Christ to discipleship. It is absolutely radical. I think that's a pretty good word today. I hear this. Teenagers use this word. Does that communicate? That's radical, man. Yeah. Christian calling is radical. Come, follow me. Means to join him. Go with him in purpose. In fact, it's a word that means stick. Stick with him and respond to this call. Now, it's my conviction that not too many Christians have responded to this call. Yes, we'll respond. We'll get a free ride to heaven. And that'll be fine. We'll be forgiven. But it's radical. It's a call to life. It's a call to right now. To respond to his call. Now, four things about this call. And on the back of the bulletin, you have, I think these are listed. First of all, this call includes the thought, follow me exclusively. You can't have another master. You can only have one master. And our Lord Jesus Christ is not in a popularity contest to try to prove who's Savior and Lord. He just declares himself to be because he is. So it's to follow him and no other. Follow me. Secondly, it's to follow him wholeheartedly. And the Bible talks about a problem about a divided heart. People who try to straddle the fence, and it doesn't work. Follow me wholeheartedly. Thirdly, follow me closely. Interesting statement after the arrest of Christ, and they're going to the palace of the high priest. John is a part of the group going with him. And the biblical statement is that Peter followed him afar off. And that thought has always struck me. Follow me closely. Not afar off. Peter got in trouble that night. And you and I get in trouble. Follow me faithfully, continually, constantly. You see, this call is a call to the entire life. all the time, follow me faithfully. Now I'd like to get into more specifics about the life of a follower. What does that look like? So you can check your life this morning, as I can check mine, and we can check ourselves as a church, a healthy church. What does the life of a follower of Christ really look like? Well, a follower of Christ is, first of all, becoming a more faithful person. There's a stability and a dependability about that kind of life. A person who is trustworthy can take him or her at their word. Now, if there's anything the world needs to see this morning, it is not necessarily the sensational, spectacular Christian. They need to see a real Christian who is steady, who is faithful, who is dependable, and a follower of Christ is becoming a more faithful person. Secondly, a follower of Christ is beginning to put Christ first, making lordship decisions with Christ as Lord and Master. Not making foolish decisions, but decisions that honor Him. Thirdly, a follower of Christ is becoming consistent in personal devotional life. Now, when we get to the actual doing of discipleship, one of the things we do is we work with each other, is to help each other into a personal devotional life. How to study the Bible, how to have a quiet time. And as Ezra said, he prepared his heart to worship the Lord. A disciple, follower, is becoming consistent in a personal devotional life. And then a follower is growing in grace. Now, grace is a foreign word pretty much to the world. The world operates on performance. If you measure up to my expectation, then I approve. If you perform for me, then I accept you. Now, God does the opposite. God doesn't wait for our performance. God moves in and the Holy Spirit regenerates us, creates faith, causes us to respond, and we realize what God has done for us. It's all in grace, without any deserving on a human being's part at all. And we're learning that. A follower of Christ learns the doctrines of sovereign grace so that God gets all the glory. In the next place, a follower of Christ has a heart for sharing Christ. A real desire that's born of the Holy Spirit, so that a Christian leader should never have to try to give us a boost to be a witness or to evangelize. This is not something that needs to come from somebody else. This comes from your heart. A heart to share Christ because you want to, not because some leader told you to. In the next place, a follower of Christ is following a priority of ministry. First of all, to the Lord. If you're a husband, to your wife. If you're a wife, to your husband. The Lord, your wife or husband. If you're a father or a mother, to your family. That's biblical priority. Then to your church, the family of believers. And 1 John is all about this. If John raises the question to say, if we don't love each other in the church, we're probably not. Well, he goes, you are not a Christian. So there's a priority that's right and correct, and a follower of Christ follows that priority. And I'm sad to say that not too many pastors follow that priority. And one of the things I determined early was that I am not married to the church. I'm not married to the local church. I'm married to my wife, and I'm the father of my family. And I tried to fulfill that. As Christians, we need the priority of ministry. And a follower of Christ does that. In the next place, a follower is becoming a more teachable person. What's the big problem with the world of unbelief? What's the major sin? It's pride. Pride. And in pride, we know it all. We know more than when we're 16, when we'll ever know the rest of our life. But the pride doesn't leave us. And many people struggle in their Christian life because they're not teachable. There's no craving for learning. No willingness to be taught. No willingness to take correction. It's necessary in discipleship. Well, you could go on, and we'll do some more of this. But in the next place, a follower of Christ is becoming more Christ-centered and less self-centered. Again, in the life of an unbeliever, self is the main thing and many times the only thing. Now for us, there's a complete change. And sometimes on a storefront, you'll see a sign, under new management. That ought to be seen on every Christian who's a follower. Who are you this morning? You should be a person under new management. Less of self and more of Christ. So as we view these things, are you a casual Christian? Are you a spectator to what's going on? Do you ride the fence? Are you a follower? We cannot be a healthy church unless we are followers of Jesus Christ, because a disciple is a follower. Have you ever really considered seriously this call? Follow me. This morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, bow to him and say, from this moment on, in school, in business, in neighborhood, in my family, I am a follower. And I observe the priority of my ministry. And I give my life to my master to share the message and be involved in the mission. Now, if the Lord gave the church a mission, he gave it to the church, not to the clergy, not to the so-called missionary, but to the church. And the thing that's missing is that the church has missed this call and think it's only for, quote, the leadership. No, it's to you. This verse in Matthew 28 is as much to you as it is to me or any other person. You can't sidestep it. You can't ignore it. You have to answer it this morning. To be a healthy Christian, we must be a follower. To be a healthy church, we must be followers.